हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, Nyaya Sutras, then page 20. In the Bhagavad Gita, at the very beginning, it is stated, Dhritarashtra Vacha, Dharma Kshetre, Kuru Kshetre, Samaveta, Yuyutsavaha, Mamakav, Pandavaschaiva, Kimakuravata, Sanjaya. The statements of the Bhagavad Gita are themselves proof that there is a place of a religious pilgrimage named Kurukshetra, where the Pandavas and Kurus met to fight. After meeting there, what did they do? This was Dhritarashtra's inquiry to Sancha. Although these statements are very clear, atheists try to interpret different meanings of the words Dharmakshetra and Kurukshetra. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has warned us not to depend on any kind of interpretation, like you mentioned before. It is better to take the verses as they are without interpretation. So that's the point of that means it's there in the Nyaya. It's supposed to also as being logical and taking it as it is, and then that's again emphasized we see in Mimamsa, right? So that you have to take them as they are. As the acharyas give us, that's actually the literal meaning. If you use a dictionary meaning, that's just etymological. And that of the six kinds of what we saw before when Jiva Goswami gave the six kinds of ways to understand the verse and the word, it's the lowest. So if we take that and say that's literal and therefore the highest, then you know you're dealing with the mode of ignorance. Because only mode of ignorance takes what's the lowest, makes it the highest makes it the lowest.
What are those six meanings?
I don't remember them all. And our man who can say them is not here.
That's not Tatparyalingus.
No. See, Tatparyalingus is, at least from what I can see, is you have these main features. Means is that it's one of the axioms of this hermeneutics, where it's mentioning how everything in the Shastra has a connection with each other. So therefore, the first one will be the whole book, the second will be the canto, and the third will be the chapter, like that. Then there's a whole bunch of other ones, and so the Tatparyalingas are one of those other ones. How you can tell also what's important, because okay, we have a chapter, how do we know what's important in the chapter?
Yes.
Or like that. So that's it. Okay, what's glorified, what's there, what's mentioned at the beginning, end, what's all these different things. And also see that in context of the overall book. So if something in there is in context like Tato Brahma Jigyasa, mm-hmm. is talking about that, that's then you know it's the main point. Mm-hmm. So that'll always, because you have to be able to tell what's the main point and what are supportive points. So it's just another way of being able to adjust that. So they're important, but they're from that angle.
Yeah. It's interesting that this also teaches you how you write, because the culture people, they will look for these six. So
yes. Yes.
You cannot put anything in the beginning or at the end.
And if they do, then you know it's not worth reading. You know, the point is they haven't stated their point and haven't concluded with the point, then you can't really tell what's going on. And if you check any document that really has weight and all that, we'll use these. Maybe they're using it unknowingly, you know, by karma they still have it in a previous life and they studied all these things nicely, you know, but then they ended up being appearing wherever they did. And so they still have that habit from previous life, so they write like that. but they themselves don't know it, so then someone else comes up with something else and interprets it, what they did, and then, you know, it's what struck them, and then that becomes the main thing, and then it's lost.
So talking about interpretation, there's a theory back in the day how we interpret a text, and one of the theories was that the author of the text has nothing to do with the meaning of the text. That means you can completely disregard the personality of the text. And the text is just by itself. You can just... That means...
Do whatever you want
yes,
with it.
Basically.
So, oh, okay. So that's how you get those... Yeah, that would come down, because so sometimes you see they take, let's say... you know, where I was noticing this, what you're mentioning, is you take something like there's the Nutcracker Suite, which is an original work. Then there was a ballet made on that. And then there was that old, the original ballet, and then people make interpretations on that, you know, until it ends up, you know, as something else. So you have Romeo and Juliet, then it ends up as West Side Story. You know, on the streets of New York with two Hispanic gays, you know, like that. You know, so it loses some because they can do whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly. The problem is that it's a couple of speculation.
It means now I can do whatever I want.
Thank you.
Oh, good. Hot and turn the fan, and then it makes a cough. And then take these, and then take too many of these, and you have to go to the toilet. Never ends.
Yeah. I think Bhagavatam mentions three kinds of meanings.
Mm. Yes, yes.
The Abhidha Vritti, which is direct, then Lakshana Vritti, which is indirect, and then Vyanjana Vritti, which is the hidden meaning.
Means
what you say, but actually the message is different.
Or deeper.
No, it's... I don't know how to say it.
Implied.
But what I'm meaning is that the seeming direct meaning from that, or indirect, whichever it is, still has validity.
Yes.
But then they give a deeper... Like when you read Prabhupada's purports, you read them in the beginning, they mean one thing, but as you advance, you start meaning deeper and deeper things.
Yeah.
So it's not that it's hidden, and then it's just saying some any old words, but the words, as in other words, the direct meaning of that verse will be for someone of one level, but that, what do you call it, Vyanjana, that hidden. That will be someone more advanced.
Yeah.
But they can both, they're both connected, and then there's that.
Yeah.
There's a drug.
Yeah. Because Shukadeva, you know, he was talking,
right,
and then he was getting into trance. So during that trance, he was speaking, and like you mentioned, some took the message directly,
right,
some took it indirectly. But actually, only those who knew what he's talking about then got the Vyanjana Vritti. It means they realized what is the hidden meaning in those words.
Right.
Because sometimes he just couldn't control himself.
Yes, yes.
So especially in the 10th canto. By that time, he was, you know, mostly in that kind of state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That also then the thing before when he's talking.
Yeah.
It means it directly is how someone on that platform can advance, but at the same time it also has that hidden meaning of, because we see is that style of teaching that you see that you would speak to the jnanis and all that, then I think that means Krishna himself spoke like that. Yeah, and then also then when he said Uddhava, he spoke like that.
Mm-hmm.
Both times to the gopis. You know? But then the you know, it means what he was saying is bona fide stuff. But then there was what was beyond that. Like you were saying about the you were saying, who was saying about the apricot pastimes. Because if you're always absorbed, then you'll be in the apricot. No? No one heard that before? But he, somebody said it. That's what was...
Today?
Yeah, this
you
morning.
Said it.
No, no.
Today. You said it.
I said it. Yeah. I knew I heard someone say it.
Well, it was you. We have the recording. That's a good and bad thing about this. And you can actually go back and see what happened.
Yeah,
yeah, you were mentioning Prakata Prakata.
Yeah. Because they're the same, but they're different, you know. So there's too much we get into the externals of these things. Because the point is that when you, I think, I'm not sure who mentioned it. Maybe it's, see, in the Jiva Goswami Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that when one's absorbed in Krishna, in that mood of separation, you're with Krishna, but it gives the feeling that you're not. Mm-hmm. And you want to be with Krishna. It means you're with Krishna, but then you don't have that physical interaction. But then that will, then when you come to that point of the physical interaction, then that is the perfection of that thought in Vipalamba. Mm-hmm. Right? But then from that sambhog, then it goes to even higher ecstasy than when you're not with Krishna, then you're absorbed in thinking of him again. So each one nourishes the other and takes it higher. So those lines that don't accept separation, then, you know, it's always increasing, but it'll go at a slower rate. You know, it's just the passages are more and more wonderful and more people, and, you know, it's like that. But here, then it's very dynamic. Just within a day, you know, it can go up so much because everybody in the brunch pastimes has a time they're not with Krishna. You know, there's a time they're with Krishna, it's their scene, and others are auxiliary. And then there's a time when they're auxiliary and others are there, or there's times when no one's, you know, they're not with Krishna. You know, so it's so much more dynamic. So then
and even when they owe Krishna, sometimes they are already there, they feel separation.
Yeah, yes.
It's also a message in the last part of the Shikshastaka, that despair and hope, they actually, it's like contrary feelings, but they fight. Because there's you feel like absence, and you can't achieve your goal, but there's still a hope.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
you will, and it's like, it's really intense.
There's no mode of ignorance.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like that. So it's but it has external symptoms that we would think in that way.
Yeah.
But it's not. That's the thing. Is this? It's you're totally absorbed in Krishna,
yeah.
And the ecstasy that comes from that. It's just an ecstasy of a different flavor. You know, if you just like sitting down at a meal, you know, in a you know, like home environment or stuff, or that sitting in the same kind of meal in a formal environment, or the same meal, you take it in, put it in a basket, and go sit out in the field, you know, and have a picnic. It's the same meal, but it's different flavors. You know, like that. And so then.
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a description how Krishna describes the reasons for his appearance. And he says that the gopis and me will be completely enamored by our qualities, and by the will of the providence, sometimes we'll be together, but sometimes we'll separate.
Mm.
That's
interesting. Well, the problem is because he leaves it up to Yogamaya. Mm. Yogamaya knows how to perfectly. Because it means that something reaches its pinnacle, and so then when it switches into the other, then you get a different taste, and it carries on. In other words, it's come to a pinnacle in one flavor, but that's as far as it basically will go at that point. If you switch into Vipalamba, then you can take it farther. And then from that pinnacle of Vipalamba, when you switch into Sambo, it'll go again farther.
It's what Ramana Dharaya was doing to assist in Mahaprabhu. The expert will switch the moods. And back to the point of Prabhupada about the different meanings in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The first verse, the definition of Akila Rasamrita Murti, this verse explains that Krishna is the ocean of rasa.
That's the first verse.
I'm not sure whether but one of the first verse. But I think the first verse.
It is first verse of Nectar Devotion.
Yeah. Oh. Akila Rasamrita Murti. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are actually two explanations. You have the first meaning, and then Jiva Goswami gives second meaning. So there are two meanings.
Yeah.
And there you can say
and that's what they
might be more.
They give only two, right?
Yeah. Because sometimes you see, like especially Sanatana Goswami, he makes it more direct on that. He'll say, it means this, and he'll explain it. Or it could also mean, and then he'll explain it again. Or again, sometimes he'll have 5-6 different readings.
Yeah.
But they're all there. It's just what you want to bring out, because everything Krishna does, like you have the, I think it's one of the qualities of Krishna is he does many things with one action.
Mm.
And so then he gives an example of that when Krishna comes into Vrindavan from the cows. He's interacting. The cowherd boys are seeing one thing, Mother Yashoda sees another, the gopis another, different gopis, different things, different. All these different, they all see different things. Or another one, I think it's when he's fighting with one of the demons, maybe a Mistasura. Yeah, Mathura also, yes?
Yeah, wrestling.
Yeah, the wrestling.
Really,
yes, the whole range.
Right. Yes. Yes, so that kind of thing is that there's so many aspects there. Krishna's unlimited, so why would... It's just for you in your position, what you're going to catch. There's more things. You could probably also interpret it, Krishna and how he's a baby and crawling around, from the same verse. But that'll be for Mother Yashoda.
It's also interesting how, according to the Staibhava, the book says, the Vishai is slightly different. Krishna is in different age.
Yeah. Vishai, yeah.
For the Mother Yashoda, Krishna
yes.
is small. Yeah, for the gopis, he's Kaishora.
Yes.
Yes,
because each one is the Kobaras for the parental Ras, Pauganda for the cowherd boys, and Kishores for the gopis. But they're all involved in all the Rasas, but that's where they're the prominent.
The mass.
Yeah. Riti, having stated the four pramanas, the next five sutras define each of these. The next sutra explains the pramana called perception. Okay, Sutra 114. Perception is that knowledge which arises from the contact of a sense with its object and is free from faults arising from human defects. Right? So that right there means that the sense perception can't just be sense perception. Right? He's defining it, sense perception. Right? And so that means technically it has to be free from faults arising from human defects. That means it has to be based on the view of the Shastra as given by those liberated souls.
What's the difference then from Shastra?
Because you see it.
It says here, this perception should be non-verbal.
Yeah, it means verbal as we've heard it, so that's the Shabda. Right? And then you start analyzing in your head, then that's the Anuman. And then when you go, oh, okay, yeah, then that will be the... So when you go out, you see, like I remember once a day, I mean, I had, you don't pay attention to it, but I think I had, maybe it was from hearing, just one day in Calcutta, I went out from the temple. And I forget where it was. You're going down to the corner, that cheap old drugs, and picking up something there. And I think I may have went up to the Motilal, that was a little bit farther up, something else, and came back. But when I went through that hole, I wasn't out for that long. I saw an example of birth, death, old age, and disease. I'd never noticed it like that. You just—it's Calcutta, you know. But it was. So then you see, yes, the world is just that. So that would be, that is actually pratyaksha, because it's based on, it's free from the faults of human defects. It's based on the scripture. So when we say shastra chakshus, you see through the eyes of scripture. So what you see it how the shastras are explaining it. That's the pratyaksha. So when shabda comes to the point of that pratyaksha, then you can say that's realization. Right? Means you hear it, okay, you've heard it, then you analyze it, then you get jnana. Then when you can see it, that's vijnana. So it comes down like that. So it does have its pratyaksha, has its solid position, but it has to be solid in that context. Right? Does that make sense? Then it has. But if you start the other way and try to get from what you see and then try to stuff that into the shastra, then you get all kinds of weirdo. You know, there's only so much a shoehorn can do. You know?
It's also interesting that how the Bhagavatam, because it was, you know, and it is explained, especially in the first canto, that, you know, after Narada chastised Vyasadeva, then he went into trance. So the whole Bhagavatam, actually, he saw it as, you know, in front of his eyes. And then, as I mentioned previously, then Shukadeva Goswami, while speaking Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikit, he was also in the same kind of... He was actually describing the reality that he saw in his...
Friends.
Yeah, in his you know, inner kind of vision. Yeah. So what's interesting, like you explained, because devotees try to speculate whether the image comes first, then the sound comes, then, what's...
Chicken and egg.
Yeah, kind of that. Right? So what it seems to be is that the pure devotees, or we can say, for example, the residents of Vrindavan, you know, they see what it is. They actually take part in that. Mm-hmm. It's their scene. So, but then it's written in the form of a... Or even before it's written, it's spoken, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's a shabda.
Yeah.
And then we, by reading that, we should come to the point when it appears in front of our vision. Mm-hmm. So that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. How it goes? Because otherwise, our main practice is hearing, and this is the beginning, you know. Shravanam, then everything else follows. Mm-hmm. But then, as you mentioned, it should come to realization after contemplating the metta, then we should actually see it how it is. And then everything else will follow, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's something that... Yeah, something.
And so I want to ask, is this the same as Divya Pratyaksha? I mean, this definition of Pratyaksha here.
It means it's based on, it can be material that you're taking it from Shastra. Just like, let's say you're taking, Shastra says this about something in Ayurveda and the plant and all that, and then based on that, then you're seeing it.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no defect, you're seeing it as the Shastra says. Okay. So it's not, you're not getting in the way.
Yes.
Because that's the actual perception. Because otherwise, what do they perceive? Like, I remember seeing this one show where it means this one thing. There's a short, you know, whatever it is, this little documentary where they're going back, and it says anthropologists, but they're going back to, okay, well, what did they eat and how did they eat? And they're all sitting around the table eating the stuff that they ate. But they're all sitting there with their, you know, stone plate and this and that, but they have these really super sharp knives. Says, what are you talking about? You know, so I say it's like that. So did they have those kind of knives? You know, like that. If you're talking about the very beginning, you know, it says, you know, that they had, it wouldn't be as sharp as the knife they were using, stainless steel. They would have had an iron thing, and it wouldn't have been that really super fine little delicate thing, you know, that they're using. So therefore, then, if they were eating something, they would chop it up into pieces and then cook it. They wouldn't, you know, do it in chunks and then, you know, like that. Or you just pick it up and gnaw it at with your hands, you know. But it's just, you know, they project their lifestyle, you know. So that's the thing, is that they can't see things that is this, or that, what is it? I think it's hidden archaeology?
Forbidden archaeology.
Forbidden. Mm-hmm. There's a huge amount of stuff that they've seen it, but it doesn't match the way they think. They're samskar. So therefore, they just put it on the back shelf.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you listen to conspiracy theories, then how much stuff is there in Area 51 that they've done that to?
The longer version of that book, so you had both, it was called Hidden History of the Human Race.
Oh.
So the shorter, the more condensed version is called Forbidden.
Oh, okay.
So, both. So you were right on both, Hidden and...
Oh, okay, sure, okay. Yeah, so then it's just because Bhaktivinoda Thakura mentioned before, wasn't it? He was talking about the reasoning. And the reasoning, that means you... receive something from the senses, the mind then focuses on one of those because you can't deal with everything. So that's another problem. So you don't know everything. So you'll just see what is of your value, because you look at things that unless that information is coming in, anything that you can put back into the memory that you have a context for, that's what you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like that. You take somebody into a big room with so many things in it, they'll only see the things that they had a samskar for. You know, and if they look at it and there's nothing that they have a samskar for, the place is full of, you know, I think, well, it depends. You take your pick, either chazarai or a schlock. You know? Yeah. Right. I'm not sure if there's a there must be a technical difference.
Yeah. Schlock is just general.
Okay.
Schlock, it's like all the junk.
Okay. And chazarai is more specific. Okay. So like that, then you have, it's just, there's nothing there, but if there's something that you're really into, oh, you found a treasure amongst all this stuff, and, you know, like that. So it will go into the memory, and the memory is what is something that is there in the past. Only that you'll take, and it'll be in the context of what you've seen in the past or experienced. Then that you'll start anuman. Then you'll start the speculative process, and you'll come up with the different things. Then you'll take it to the point the intelligent will start to play with it, what you can do, how you can do, things like that. That's called reasoning. Right? Because before it's this, that, it's not. And so many things are happening, but when you get down to start analyzing it, you know, that Tarka aspect, that's called reasoning, but your reasoning is still based on your memory. So if you don't have a samskar, you can't see it. I remember seeing some article on some dig in Mahendradaro. You know, it'll be in that Indus Valley. You know, the. You know, it was before the Saraswat River, that you know, the Brahmins that lived there. And they had articles that they found. They're saying they have no idea what they are. And they were speculating what they are. But they were regular kitchen utensils that you see in any village Bengali kitchen. You know, so I knew exactly what they were. But they had no idea because they had never been in a village kitchen and all that, you know, so... They probably didn't even know what a kitchen was, you know.
Yeah.
Many of these nerds, it's like, you know, what's a kitchen?
Only a restaurant food.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a restaurant. It's, you know, it's like your mom, either your mom cooks it for you or the guy comes to the door and delivers it. You know, or as you're walking down the road, there are these strange places where you can actually pick things up, but it might be too cultural for them. The point is it's just... They have no samskar, so therefore they can't analyze it. So they have to project their own values onto it. So it becomes very... Yeah, so that's why pratyaksha is as a body of knowledge doesn't have any validity. If it's in support of Shabda, that's when it has. When you can see what the Shastra talks about, then it has value. So otherwise, it's just like the animal. He just sees something, it's like, you know, I could see. For me, it's always fun. You take an apple or something, a banana like that, and there's a dog there. You know, you buy something, you know, in the market, there's always a dog there, right? You take the banana and hold it in front of the dog, and walk away. You know, it's just, it means nothing to it, you know. But if you're walking by and it's a monkey or a cow, like, it's gone. You know? You ever been, you have a garland, you're walking down the street, and suddenly you notice that you can't move? Then you turn around and there's a cow eating the garland. Just very peacefully, calmly, just munch, munch. And if you don't take it off, then your nose is going to be in front of the cow's nose. And, so they see the garland. The dog doesn't see the garland. This doesn't mean anything to them. So that's the problem of pratyaksha. It's based on your samskaras. So your conditioning is all it can see. It can't see outside of your conditioning. You know, say what you want. Oh, I'm an intellectual. I can see everything. No, you can only see what's in your field. You can't see outside of that. You know what I'm saying? Just as a general, you know, I say cliche, but can the nuclear physicist, can he actually appreciate that his wife dressed up? It'll be just, oh, you're ready. Okay, we're late, you know. That's it. He can't tell what it is. Everybody else will notice. He can't see. You know, he just knows that whenever he goes to these functions where everybody, you know, these big high-end university functions where all of them comes and they come with their wife and like that, that if he brings his wife, it goes better. The talks go better. He doesn't notice because they're all looking at how nicely his wife's dressed, and therefore they're standing there listening to him and nodding their head. If you went alone, then no one wants to talk to him. You know, he doesn't understand that. You know, so that's the thing. You can't function outside of what you can see. You're in a conditioning. That's it. You can't see beyond that. So that's why then in Drishtanta, you have to take them step by step. You know, the example of, you, no one knows what the moon is, so you point out a tree. They know what a tree is. And they know, you know, left, right, and this and that, up, down. And so you see that tree? Okay, you see out on the, there's that left branch that sticks right out? Okay, you see that kind of white, round thing that's there, that's kind of bright? Yeah, that's the moon.
Okay, the first time this analogy makes sense to me. Because now I understand why. Because they know the tree. They know the branch.
They know the tree.
They don't know the moon.
They don't know the moon. So that's what Drishtanta is. When he understands, oh, that's the moon. Therefore, your example and you're taking them through that process. That's what Udaharana is for, is to create that. Means you've made your point, you've given your reasons they don't understand. The Drishtanta means the Udaharana is to bring about that understanding. You know, in some cast aspect, oh, I caught that. Then, since I caught that, the example, now then the Udaharana, Upanaya, is just like that, then there's this. And then it's, oh, okay, then you put the two together, and then you say your conclusion. Therefore, so that's what you're doing. It's just a standard process. It means outside of this, nobody learns things. So that's the thing, you just go and get facts in the classroom. No one learns anything. This whole thing, we got to go through this much material, 10 pages a day, this, that, blah. No time for questions today, and this and that. It's like, no one learns anything. The guy that's really smart can memorize some stuff, but they won't actually learn. So that's...
what they know.
Yeah, and it'll also just be those parts that they know, or it's just they know that, okay, all these different points that is there, you know, then he has to memorize, and so then he can repeat those, and then if you've repeated them, then you get a good mark, and you get a good mark, and you get the this and that, and then very well. You know, that's all. You get your job. You know, so that's all that's seen. So that's the whole point of this, is that if you don't start from Shabda, you have nothing to properly think about. You don't have anything to properly think about, what you'll see won't have any real value. So, knowledge means Shastra. And then every point of Shastra has meaning. You know? That's it. But then it has a purpose, as we see that Vyasadeva was trying to give the main points, but then Narad Muni points out that that's not enough. You have to give the absolute truth, otherwise you're giving nothing to the soul. So then that's what the whole point. So the logic is for that whole point of understanding actually what's there. It itself can't show you. It's just tools to make sure all these things are going on. But if you say nonsense as pratyaksha, I mean as your pratigya, then the whole rest of the equation is going to be wrong. You know? And like that. Or, you know, you give the wrong example so the person doesn't understand, it won't work. So they're tools. But unless you know what you're talking about, what's the absolute truth, how do you discuss it? So these are tools. And they're there. They're very refined tools that they exactly get what you want. So, does that make sense? You know. So in other words, you have that nice, what do you call it? You know, Jamie Oliver pan rather than the aluminum bucket that's been dropped off the roof that the boys are out in the backyard cooking something. Okay. Then, thus perception should be non-verbal of ya padesha, non-erroneous of ya bichadi, and is of definite character. Vya vasayatma. Footnote 13. So it's very exact. You know? Like that. So we're trying to catch the principle that's there. And then if we remember these words and this and that, nice, and then, you know, if somebody's saying something, yes, but your vyapasyayatma aspect of your is completely wrong here. Yeah, you'll definitely go far in this argument. Okay. 13, the requirements for correct perception are stated in that are stated in the sutra are avya padesya, nonverbal. Correct perception doesn't rely on accepting or rejecting someone else's perception. Right? Someone says, oh, this is this and that's that, and you know, it's a rope, it's a snake, it's a this, it's a that. No, you see what it is based on, you know, what is defined by authority. Avya means you can see it, because if you just heard, that's paroksha. Right? It's called pratyaksha because you see it. Paroksha means someone else has heard, and that's how you know. Aparoksha means you feel it. You don't see it, but you feel it.
It's more like a realization.
It's a realization, yeah. But now they're taking the feeling I get when I see and taking that as aparoksha. No. Because if you can explain it, it's not aparoksha. As soon as you're discussing aparoksha, you're not seeing it.
You're not experiencing.
You're not experiencing. So that makes sense. Like I taste something, wow, this is so good, and I'm telling you, wow, this is fabulous. I'm not tasting it now. I'm telling you. So from that, you can get some paroksha and get inspired to try it, but I'm not tasting it anymore. So projection is okay. Then, vyava avya bichara, non-erroneous or unfailing in all circumstances. Correct perception is not subject to change, nor is it the result of deception due to one's sensory imperfections. So it doesn't change, it always stays the same. Right? So therefore, when we're talking about, let's say, the nature of a dog, that nature that doesn't change, that's what we're talking about. Not that it's a big dog, small dog, you know, short-haired dog, long-haired dog, you know, curled, super curled-up tail, kind of curled-up tail, not necessarily so curled-up tail. You know, that's not what's the dog. The dog is that whole dogness that's there. That's the one that's there. And then it manifests in these other aspects. So then again, just seeing whatever you want to see is still not perception. It has to be based on what is that thing that doesn't change.
Is it also applicable to the story that you told us the other day? There were three guys sitting, and then when you came closer,
one was a monkey. One was a longer
so
monkey.
It changed.
Yeah, your perception definitely changes. Keshe Bharati Maharaj was walking, you know, out of out of his place. You go up to the corner and go down. There's the tempos, those three wheelers. There's that kind of place where, you know, down from the sweet shop, you know. So when he comes around the corner and then he sees the tempo, you know, the next one's going to go, and there's people sitting because they have that seat at the very back, you know, this kind of facing
the rack.
Backwards, yeah, and it's open, right? So then he's coming. He sees three guys there, and one guy is holding a pack of peanuts, you know, those little dinky bags with peanuts in it. And each of the three guys are, you know, one at a time taking one peanut and eating, you know, chewing and then taking, and then someone else is taking and this and that, you know. So it's all going on. When he gets closer, he sees that, you know, one of the guys, I think the middle guy, was a longer monkey, a full-grown longer monkey. So he's as big as the other guys. And just peacefully sitting there, and the guy had the peanuts, and he was taking one and eating. They wasn't fighting over like that. And he sat there and ate the peanuts until the temple was time to go. And then he just no longer just, you know, very deftly got off and stayed back and, you know, jumped on the wall like that. So from a distance, you thought it was three guys. But then you find out it was two guys and a monkey. Yeah, two and a half guys. Yeah, or three monkeys, just two with clothes, two with that. Yeah. Your perception changed as you went. So that means then it's not a real perception because it changed. I thought it was three guys, but when I got closer, it was actually two guys and a monkey. You know, maybe if you got closer, it would have turned into, you know, actually two monkeys and a elephant, you know.
Turn the monkey feeding the humans.
Yeah, I kind of remember it was saying that the monkey was holding the peanuts, you know, and they're all eating them like that. You know. It wasn't his peanuts, but they just, you know, they're probably doing it and handed it to him, and so then he held it, and they're really cool, those guys.
Yeah, because you have to be self-restrained, not to run away with the whole pack of peanuts.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't do that with the grease monkeys, no, that's such a bad thing. But those guys, I think it was on the roof of Govardhan, the palace. There was one sitting up there, and you could take a bunch of bananas, sit down next to him, and break off one and hand it to him. And he wouldn't take the others. He'd just peel that, eat it, and he'd hand it to the next one. Anyone else came off, he'd just hand it. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but, you know. But maybe he always came to the palace. But like you see when you go around the back, just turn around the back of Govardhan before you get to the tongue of, is that Jatipur?
Yeah,
Jatipur. Before Jatipur, because when you turn around, there's the road and there's that covered boy that's, you know, looking, waiting for Krishna to come back.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sorry, you come around. So just when you go into it, there's that little bit of forest, very nice forest, very open, and the caves are, I think, around there. There's millions of those reese monkeys. You bring out something to eat like that, you know, you got problems.
Yeah.
I have seen though that sometimes the longer might hold on to your cloth, so you don't just go away. Mm. But they won't grab you or grab the stuff. They just, you know, they want you to know. We got a. There's a rapport going on here.
Kubji was also interested. Kubji was also interested in
Krishna. Yeah. So you grab this cloth. Yeah. So the same. It's a standard. Let you know that, you know, something happened.
Yeah, I have an experience with those monkeys, even not the one more one, but they are wild. But the bigger ones, like more old probably, I forgot because I came from here many years ago. And I was talking to one monkey and we were walking and I had an ice cream. That's a big mistake. So I had one bite. And then I was cooked. And then I felt, you know, somebody's taking it out from my hand, without touching me, nothing. so gentle.
Okay, but carefully taken.
Careful, not like they usually do. You know,
okay,
they
yeah.
You
yeah.
all of them, and they yeah. jump on you and everything. It was one monkey sitting on the fence.
Oh, as you went by, he just reached out.
It was big, you know, like, yeah. And he was just. And I was shocked, and just continued walking, because, you know,
and then
was
he sitting there licking it?
Probably, I didn't know.
That would be
so shocked, because he did it so gently. You know, okay. It didn't touch me, nothing.
Okay.
So I was surprised, because usually it's such a thing.
Okay. Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
But he was alone, and no other monkeys were next to me. Because, you know,
okay, so he could afford that.
And,
yeah.
And he was also probably fierce looking, and, you know, there are elderly ones.
Now, are you sure it wasn't a guru coolie? Did you get a good look?
Yeah.
Get a closer look? Oh, actually, then I realized, no, just a guru coolie.
Yeah.
No.
Unshaved Babaji. You know. Yeah.
That was a good ice cream. I only had one.
Yeah,
but I learned my lesson.
Yeah, you learn your lesson. But it's probably he also knows that he stands there, then people walk out of the ice cream place right
there. Before the shop, that when the food for life shop or whatever.
Okay, yeah, it's probably his spot is when he's interested in ice cream, he sits there.
Yeah, all those Westerners who don't know.
So, yeah.
Space out Westerners.
Yeah.
Yeah, generally, if you have a bag, one will just jump on your back and it'll startle you. You drop the bag, and then another one will just grab it and they share.
Okay.
Pranamaya
consciousness,
they always work in groups. That's why I was surprised because
Okay.
The seagulls in America do that. If you're on the beach, they'll dive on you, so you drop your pizza, and then they'll fly away with a full slice of pizza, big slice too.
Yeah.
French fries, whatever you got.
Yeah, and they can swallow it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Well, like this and swallow.
Yeah, if you're carrying even a box of pizza, they know what's in the box, so they'll just dive on your head, and you drop the box, and then they open it up and start taking the pieces out. they know once it hits the floor, you don't want it anymore.
That's fine. And drop the box and all that. They all come down and like that, and then they open it and they all go, pineapple!
Yeah, right.
And they all fly off. Yeah, just leave it
now.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Then they start beating the person.
Yeah. That's not pizza.
There was a football match recently between England and Italy, and Italy supporters, they had a big banner, and they were towards the English supporters, so it was written, "Stop putting pineapple on the pizza."
That's funny. I heard that in Sweden some years back, that the prime minister he banned pineapple on pizza. I don't know if it became official, but he was saying that no, we should ban pineapple on pizza.
Can you imagine that's what they discussed?
Yeah.
These are important issues.
Yeah, no, it's like really important.
No, but for me, they have nothing else to discuss. The students
Yeah. That was before the Syrians showed up. But then they have something to discuss, right?
How easy do we get this
practice? Right, what you can see, what you don't see.
So first it was the monkeys, and then...
That ended on... Get the drishtanta. Okay. Udriti, Srila Baladeva Vibhushan. We didn't read the end. Okay. And Vya Vasayatmaka. Correct perception excludes judgments of doubt, either because of one's failure to observe all the details, or only observes what one wants to observe, or not observing what one does not want to observe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you can't cut out things that you don't want to see or only see what you want to see. So much of the time when we in these discussions, this last one is, you know, based on the first two they come to, they only see what they want to see or neglect, like what we're saying with the scientists.
Right.
Those two books, they don't want to see it. So You can't call that pratyaksha. So they'll say, no, this is real, this is fact, this is truth. But that's why then they also have to say it's relative and it changes, it's always developing, it's always... But they use nice words like inspiration and that, rather than they're a bunch of idiots and don't know what they're talking about. You know, stuff like that. So then, but that last one you see is a very... I mean, the others are there, but they base their whole philosophies off of that. They only see what they want to see.
Yeah, when the demigods, they pray to Krishna, I forget which canto was that, but they're saying that we don't see you, our sixth canto.
Mm.
We don't see you because we think we are independent ones.
Mm.
So basically, we don't see you because we don't want to
see
so
you
so much. I mean, we know you're there.
Yeah, that's interesting. If you think you're the doer, then you'll see yourself as the one doing. But if you don't, if you're humble, then you can see as Krishna is, and then you can see. That's a very nice detail of why, without humility, or why pride, you can't actually see. Because then you switch it. Like those gopis that were proud, then it's about them. It's connected to Krishna, but it's about them. So that's not enough. That's not Vajrabhakti. It's Krishna, and then we're the devotees of Krishna. Well, here's no, we're Anya, so fortunate, so wonderful. Then, where is that? How is Krishna, how are the devotees, how is anybody else when Krishna leaves? And you see, when Krishna leaves, it's also an interesting thing that Rupa Goswami mentions, that the gopis, that rivalry is only when Krishna's present. When Krishna's not present, there's no rivalry. So it's not an inherent thing, it's just something to increase rasa. So when you see when Krishna leaves, all the gopis are all together and they're all feeling that separation and they're all discussing. Suddenly when Krishna appears, then there may be that rivalry. That's to create the different flavors. Udriti. Among these different kinds of philosophers, Charvak, who accepts only direct perception, as evidence says, a bewildered fool who is full of doubts cannot understand the truth. Therefore, one should not accept the opinions of others, for they may only be bewildered fools who are full of doubts and who cannot understand the true situation, even if they see it with their own faulty eyes. If such persons try to talk about things beyond the material world, intelligent persons will not believe anything they say. Right, so, because he's an atheist, so therefore, you can't see it. The point is you have to be able to see, without doubts. Then you can see the truth. But that stuff was beyond, you can't see, so how can there be any truth? So... However, in speaking these words, Charvak, even though unwillingly, uses the tools of logic. Therefore, he becomes the object of laughter. O Charvak, who accepts only direct perception as evidence, why do you sadly sigh as you suspect your wife is pregnant from her paramour? A person who never accepts the words of others, thinking others unreliable fools, and who never accepts the process of logic, of deducing one thing from another, must, because he has abandoned all other sources of knowledge, nevertheless accepts the statements of others as truth. Vedanta Shonantaka 5. So he can't tell. He doesn't know. So there's no way. It's only what you see. Because he's not accepting Anuman or Shabda or anything else. So that means he can't hear from others. So therefore, he can't tell by direct perception, if his wife is pregnant by someone else. So therefore he says we don't accept any of these other systems, but he's going to use those systems. Yeah. So that's the thing. That people say so many things.
That's not practical.
No, it's not practical. Yeah. Okay. Vritti. As mentioned earlier, according to Nyaya, there are four sources of valid experiential knowledge, or prama, perception, inference, comparison, and testimony, among which perception is foremost. Most people believe that whatever is experienced through perception must be true, and they do not further test the data because that is received via the senses. Nyaya philosophy, however, is very critical in this respect and makes a thorough examination of perception. Right? So perception is what everybody is prominently using because they're starting from themselves. So if you believe yourself, right? But then the problem comes is that it's faulty. So then he goes into analyzing what makes actual perception. Because we'll just say, I saw it. No, but you have to see it without these three defects. Then you saw it.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai.